May you forgive us all of our iniquities, heal all of our diseases and the curses that sin have brought upon us. Redeem us daily from all destruction. And may you fill our heart with your love and the promises of your word, that through all conflicts we find your name, your word, and your love, the mighty and glorious answer to all of our needs and to all of our conflicts. And when our love grow cold, Lord, I pray that you light that fire again. And may our lives and our decisions reflect our complete trust in your everlasting love. Now I pray with all my heart for my sake and the sake of my brothers and sisters here and our families, those who have and will continue to interact with us in the years to come. I pray that your Holy Spirit alone guide us and teach us, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be fully accepted in thy sight. And may your Holy Spirit guide me in all utterance to answer all of our questions today and tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us open together 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is the chapter of eternal love. And let us together focus again on the greatest gift that we need. If you examined all of the decisions you have been making, as well as mine, as Eric said today and reminded us, that in all of our decisions, we are trying to fulfill a general goal. And that is really to maximize our joys and to minimize our pain. What we're really seeking to accomplish is to find love that gives us identity and purpose on earth. And here on this earth, and since our inception, we have been introduced to love. You know, when we are babies, we find ourselves always safe and secure into our mother's arms, right? That is where we feel the attachment, and that is where we feel the security that emanates from a mother's love. Right there, at that very time of our life, good things and bad things begin to happen to us. In our very homes, we have been helped and we have been hurt. And so did our parents when they were babies. In every home, we have learned what love is all about. And we have learned that love in right and wrong ways. And now, in our life today, believe it or not, whether it is our joy or it is our misery, it comes from our understanding of that love early on in life. Because as we have learned that love early on, in a very practical way, from our own parents, due to the environment that we were raised in. You know, today, as we all know, there is single parents, right? There are parents who are in prison, there are parents who have been separated and never really been together. It was just a one-time thing, and a baby comes. And the parent or the parents are ill-equipped to know what love is. They entered in it the wrong way. And here it is. They are trying to reproduce that love in a new child, and that child now is learning about that love in right and wrong way. And sometimes these mothers cannot even handle their own selves. They give the child to adoption. And today we have parents who are adopting that come from every creed and every faith. There are those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God. And that child will also be exposed to that environment and learn the right and wrong way to love. And also we have children who are being raised by their own grandparents because the parents are unfit to parent the child. in this messy environment, now the child grew up to learn more about the right and wrong ways of life and eventually end up in kindergarten or in a school. All of these kids also came from homes such as this. And you see those kids exhibiting the love of Jesus in right and wrong way, and so you are there to also learn from them the right and wrong ways of love. You know, I had the blessing to teach kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, and high school. It is quite sad for me to see that manifested in many kids in school. You know, a kid who is about 6 or 7 years old, right in class there, talking to his own friends that he has a girlfriend, and is able to go through graphic details. Where did he learn about this love from? And here it is, all these other kids are also struggling, are learning, listening, learning. All of us have come up from messed up environments. So we tend to live a life of two choices. We learn to learn a life of reaction to every hurt and every absence of love, or to live a life of proaction through the discovery of God's brand new life for us. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, of course, the greatest gift that we can receive is not really the knowledge of prophecy, and it is not really memorizing all the Bible or knowing all the stories of the Bible. The greatest gift that every human being needs from inception all throughout life is the gift of love. If we receive it in the right way, we live it in the right way, we prosper and we pass it on as a gift to others in all the right way. If we receive it in the wrong way, we live a life of reaction that harm us and harm others, and we pass it to others in the wrong way. Isn't that what we all need? Correction in our understanding of what love is and how the love of God can change our lives. I'm going to read the chapter again, and we're going to zero again on verse 7 and 8 today, okay? And then I'm going to share with you a story from a 16-year-old young lady. So we can see what love has done to her and to us in childhood, what happened thereafter, and how the love of Jesus made a huge transforming difference in her life, and it is the same power that have made a transforming difference in our life and continue to do the same. But how to get there? 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. This means nothing but noise. If I don't have love in my heart, even if I'm so eloquent to speak in the tongues of angels and of men, in a way that is so impressive, but I don't have the love of God in my heart, and I'm unable to give it to others, I am just a noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have no love, I am nothing. And we see that in the business world. We see people who can sit down and study the market very well, have great knowledge of the market, and can make sound prediction about what happens if we implement this plan and this plan. And many a times, their prediction is right. And they can really turn a whole company and corporation from the red to the black. But if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you would end up being a loser anyway. And that's why they may be very successful executive and decision makers, but very bad fathers and mothers and spouses and children. And that's what Paul is talking about. He said there is something that we all lack, something that we all need, and it is not in the knowledge and the decision making that we do to succeed on this earth. He said, if you have all of this and you don't have love, you are nothing. This means you're damaged good. And if I'm a damaged good, how will I impact the people who are dependent upon me? Whether it's children, spouses, people in school, people in church. It is a serious matter. It says, love suffer long. That is a character of love. And we already discussed that. Love is kind. Love envy not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. This means love is not self-centered. Remember, I gave a few sermons on that. Self-centeredness is self-destruct. Family destruct. Church destruct. Community destruct. And nation destruct. Because regardless of how much we have in us, we do not have the answer for our every need. And therefore, we don't have the answer for everybody's need. But Christ-centeredness is self-construct, family construct, church construct, community construct, and a nation construct. And that is what we are examining here, because all of us came from good and bad environments in our home. Our parents are human beings, right? I lost my dad when I was a child. He died. My blessed mom tried to raise 8 of us in one single bedroom, sharing the bathroom with all the neighbors. Very poor. And she did her best. She rose up every morning at 5:30, 5:45, covered her head, and from her I learned the power of prayer. We lived on one meal a day, and sometimes 2 meals a day if other family members and guests did not just show up. And eventually she couldn't handle it anymore, and she placed me in an orphanage. You know, all the attachment wounds. How can my mother give me up? I missed on that very secure love of a mother, and I was exposed to all of the elements of all the wrong love. Even though it was a Christian orphanage, and they taught us about the love of Jesus morning, noon, at night, and I went to Christian schools. The knowledge was there. The heart of Jesus was not there. The love of self and the love of the world was so apparent in the life of those who taught us about the love of God. So I was a damaged good. And I was raised with a very low self-esteem, conflicted about who I am, always thinking that I am less than everybody else. And I did blame God. I said, that cannot be a God of love who makes some people so poor and some people who grow in great hardships on this earth and others just raised in nice and big and rich homes. Some have everything, others got nothing. How could that be a God of love? As a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I behaved as a child. But when I became a man, I have forsaken childish things. And that is exactly what this chapter is going to be concluding with. And I want you to know today, before I go further, the children who are raised in these very difficult circumstances, God is raising them for much greater responsibilities through the expression of his love, if they found it. And I am very grateful that around the age of 15, when I almost lost my life and drowned in the Mediterranean Sea, it was a beginning of a brand new insight into who I am and who God is. When God saved me from death for the second time, and when I asked him with great tears and agony, who I am and why you have created me, he answered me, first in the Bible, in the story of Joseph. God loved Joseph. He created him with a purpose. He created you with a divine purpose. We have made the choice to forsake that purpose and to live our own purpose. But it is never too late to be restored back. He loved Joseph so much that he had to remove him out of his family. And yes, it was God who allowed his brothers to sell him to become a slave. He allowed Joseph to be disconnected from his father because the environment at home would have been too toxic for him to experience the love of God. So if you and I and others felt abandoned, rejected in the home, it is part of the blessings of God. And when Joseph was moved into another man's house, he was under the general of the Egyptian army. And right there was a great environment for him to thrive. He loved God. He felt the love of God. He communed with God. He did complain about all of his grievances regarding what his brothers have done to him to God. But you know, Joseph never hated his brothers. They hated him. A dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional home, even though a Christian home. Just because it's a Christian home, it doesn't mean it is not dysfunctional in one form or another. We all came from dysfunctional homes. Even if it was a Christian home. Not because my mother wanted it to be dysfunctional. She was a godly mother. Did everything she could. But she is not a mother or a father, and she could not have supplied all of our needs. But God does not make mistakes, Dale. And right there in that environment, because of his love for God and because the love of God was inside him, Joseph suffered long. Joseph did not envy at all the riches of Egypt. Joseph was not pride, did not push himself to become important. But Joseph was faithful to God's love that in the house of Potiphar, the heathen Egyptian, the Bible said that God blessed everything Joseph touched. And his master recognized that. And he put him the head of all of his household, even as a Hebrew slave. Training for tomorrow. Training for tomorrow. The love of God is there. It has to bear fruits. And we know the story that later on some people got quite envious of Joseph. And we know what Potiphar's wife tried to do. She was looking for love in the wrong way. Did you hear that? He was there in the environment loving God. And she was not satisfied with what she's got. And she was looking for extra love. You know, we all came from that environment. We all came lacking. So Joseph had the love of God. She was seeking after the love of God in the wrong places, the wrong way. And we know what the result. A conflict for Joseph.
Yes.
And Joseph ended up saying, no, I have love and respect for you, and I love my God, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And therefore he ended up in prison. Mm-hmm. And here it is. How could God allow someone who loved him so deeply to end up in prison and to be humiliated? God does not make mistakes.
No, he didn't.
God loves in truth. And the hardship that he allows us to go through always and forever carry new blessings we never experienced before. Just think of conflict and troubles a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens to us is not a mistake, and it did pass the office of the Savior and his approval first. And if it passed his approval first, it can only work for our blessing. All things work together for good. And we know what happened to Joseph in prison. He was introduced and he grew more into the character and the nature of Jesus, and God has given him the gift of interpreting dreams. See, in every step, God gives us new gifts. In every affliction, God gives us new blessings. And as he exercised the gift of God in love, listen, he did not ask the people to pay him for the gift of love he exercised. He just shared it with people. Remember, we've gone through all of the gifts first. Now it is working. It is only working through love. And as he exercised the love of God and used his gift, eventually his name was made known to Pharaoh. because Pharaoh himself had a disturbing dream. And he got all of the astrologers of Egypt, all of the knowledgeable men of Egypt, because the love of God was not in them, could not interpret the dreams. But because Joseph had the love of God in him, this means the Spirit of God was in him. There is the love of the world, and there is the love of God. There is the Holy Spirit of God that brings us that love, and there is the spirit of the enemy of God. The love of the world and the spirit of the world. And Hollywood is very good in manufacturing this. It tells us how to get love in all the wrong places, in all the wrong ways, in a very destructive way. Jesus come to save us from that. And we know the story that the end result of Joseph's affliction early on, he became the second most powerful man in the Egyptian empire. A Hebrew slave. A Hebrew slave. And what was the result of that? Because he has gone through affliction. And because his love for Jesus and the love of God in him was steadfast and strong. He bare all things. He believed all things. He endured all things. And he hoped for all things is the discussion for today. And what was the result? Because of that, his family hungered. There was starvation in the land. And they had no idea who was in charge of the barns and the storehouses of Egypt. And we know the story. That when they went all the way to Egypt to get wheat and food, suddenly Joseph recognized his brother. You see, the love for his brother never departed. He actually got stronger.
Wow.
It got stronger. And when he saw his brothers coming, he used some wisdom to keep him there longer. And when he eventually saw his younger brother Benjamin, the Bible said that Joseph wept and cried. He was happy to see them.
Wow.
And eventually, when they recognized that he was Joseph, the Bible said, they were afraid. Time of retaliation.
Right.
That's what the world says. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph answered them, don't be afraid. You've done me harm. But it was God's will to do me good.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am here to save lives, including your own. See, love never fails. That's a chapter of love. Love never fails. So this is something for us all to remember. God does not make mistakes, even if we were raised in the most difficult homes. Every human being on earth will be given more than one opportunity to receive and experience the transforming love of God. And it is that decision that will make us or break us. So Paul continued to say, that love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. In the life of Joseph, we see that manifested and we see the outcome. In the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he has borne all of our iniquities, all of our griefs. He suffered for our every sin imagined, past, present, and to come. And he suffered long. And he died, bearing the sting of our sin in his body. Yet, he remains steadfast and strong in his love for God and in his love for the falling human race. He was beaten. He was speared. He was nailed to the cross. He was spat upon. He was despised. And he was killed. He endured all things. Because he believed in his purpose. And he believed that that is the way to express love to humanity. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. He endured with the hope that his own suffering and death and resurrection will grant him all the power on heaven and on earth to forgive all of our sins. To heal all of our diseases, to restore our life back, and to give us life eternal. It says love never fails. I want to read a very short story about a teenager. Her name is Ashley. She's 16. She had a very difficult childhood, like almost many people in this country and many people overseas. And she ended up very desperate for love, for acceptance, and for approval. And she was willing to give in and to give up anything in order to get it. Until Jesus afforded her his love through others who also been restored and saved by his love. Here is her story. She says, "Hi, my name is Ashley and I'm 16 years old. My biological father was a drug addict, alcoholic, and extremely a violent man. You know, many homes today, they may not have an alcoholic father or a drug father, but they may have an angry, violent father, or an angry, violent mother, or an abusive parent or guardian, almost in every home, because we are all human beings." And Ashley is saying that was her condition. "Before I was old enough to go to school, my dad got drunk one night, and he was screaming and throwing things at my mom. My mom trying to protect herself and to protect my dad. My baby brother was crying, and my mom was desperate to make him quiet. Mainly so the neighbors wouldn't call the police. But in the process, she was also angry, and she didn't know how to cope with that anger and depression. Because of that night, my mom ended up in jail, charged with manslaughter because she abused my brother, and he died of shaken baby syndrome."
Oh, no.
What a traumatic childhood for a young lady, huh? What a traumatic childhood. Trust me, from the many stories I have here in this book, this is the least. This is the least. "As a child, I was passed back and forth between my aunt and my grandmother until I was 5 years old. The courts ordered them to either adopt me or put me in an orphanage. My Aunt Susan adopted me into her family. My life was so beautiful until my mom came back into the picture and she wanted me back. My mom's values at this time were not good. My mom got me on marijuana and beer and introduced me to an older gentleman that she may sustain her habit." This is real. In this country, one in every three girls are being abused. And one in every five boys. "I had written all these bad experiences in my journal. One day, my aunt found the diary under my mattress. At that time, the police ordered me not to see my biological mother again. And again, I go through trauma." You think of the word love in all of this. How would a child understand the word love at that time? "At that time, the devil had a strong grasp on me, which caused me to make bad choices and decisions, a life of reaction to a distorted, hurtful, harmful form of love. My life was going down the drain, damaged good. I was like the woman at the well, involved in many sexual relationships. I was seeking things that did not satisfy, looking after love and acceptance. I needed desperately to be accepted and to be loved, and I would do almost anything to get attention. I was shattered and empty inside, and I felt so dirty, and I didn't want to live anymore. I even thought about suicide. My aunt saw my desperate condition and convinced me to go to a place called a House of Hope. Many Christian counselors are there who came from the same background. And God transformed them to be servant of the Most High God to help others experience the transforming love of Jesus. She said there, I have heard about Jesus Christ for the first time, whose love for me is unconditional. And his love is able to make me a brand new person. Therefore, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart a week after I arrived. Through extensive counseling, I have dealt with the adoption abuses, the abandonment, the rejection, and all other abuses I have experienced as a child. I am learning how to take back what the devil stole from me. He has done that in all of us. I am learning how to take back what the devil stole from me. When I am faced with temptation or problems or conflict or depression, now I spend more time reading the Bible and praying for Jesus to let his love prevail in me. That's where I got my comfort. And I know now who I am in him. I know my identity through him. And I want to fulfill my destiny and my purpose for him. My past was full of sadness and hurt, but I know God has a bright future for me. I want to help girls who are hurting like I was when I came to the house of hope. Love, endure all things. Love, believe all things, Jesus said. Love, hope for everything Christ has promised. Love, endure throughout the journey through faith and love in Jesus. My friends, remember what Jesus told us last week in the Bible? That sometimes man's worst foes shall be them of their own household. But that is not an excuse for us to go and blame all of our hurts on those whom we live with. That's a choice. We can choose to live as victims, or we can choose to live as victors. We can surrender and give in to all the harmful abuses of the old love that damaged us, or we can give our heart and mind and soul, as damaged as it may be, as hurt as it may be, to the true, healing, transforming love of Jesus. It's a choice. And then we can remember something important. And you can open the book of Romans chapter 6 with me to understand why God allow bad things to happen to good people, and what would be the expected outcome of these bad things if we surrender and turn our life the way it is to the love of Jesus. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Remember, did he also have a problem?
Yeah.
What was Paul's name before he became Paul?
Saul.
He was Saul. Wasn't he a devout believer in God?
No, he wasn't.
He was a devout believer in God.
Yes,
he served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he got all the knowledge. He was trained and taught at the hand of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of the gospel. And he got the highest degree, knowledge of theology. And he also reached a high status in the Sanhedrin. So it was all made for him. And his name was Saul. Yet, what kind of love was steering his life?
Hatred.
It was the love of self.
Right.
And what did he do?
Right.
He went about to persecute and kill adults and children who loved and believed in Jesus. Can we, as Christian parents, grandparents, uncle and aunts, brothers and sisters, through our own knowledge of God Almighty, end up being abusers of others? Because we're human beings, we're vulnerable. But when the love of Jesus was introduced to Saul, he was knocked out of his own high horse. And he was knocked down and blinded. That's affliction. That's affliction. And then he heard the voice of Jesus calling him. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hurting all of these people? And I said, who are you, Lord, that I may know? He said, I am Jesus, which shall which thou persecute. He had a choice to make. He could have rejected that love. And he said, okay, Lord, what is it that I need to do? He said, go down to Jerusalem. There is a man there by the name of Ananias. You see, God always sends people our way. If we accept his love, He will always send people our way to change all of our life and all of our circumstances. And that is a consistent story of redemption in all the stories of the Bible, from Joseph all the way to Paul. Talks about the love of God transforming and changing and restoring that which was lost. And giving us a brand new beginning, a brand new identity, and a brand new glorious purpose on earth. And Paul went and obeyed, and there Ananias received him as brother Paul. And there Ananias touched his eyes and his blindness. The Bible said that the scales dropped from his eyes, and now Paul was able to see again. Physical restoration. When we have been abused and harmed in so many different ways, whether it is mentally, spiritually, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, when we come into contact with the love of Jesus, we began the process of healing and restorations. That's why David himself, who been a shepherd boy, he's been an anointed king, he's been a sinner rich, committed all manners of sin. And David also became a prophet of God. Said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgive us all thine iniquities, who heal us all thy diseases, who redeem your life from destruction, who crown thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, a brand new beginning. Now, did that make David sinless? No. His identity now and his own life is hidden in Jesus. It is the righteousness of Christ that covers all of our nakedness and shame every day. And Satan can no longer accuse us or try to harm us. Because we are hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. When we forsake the love of God and when we go back to the love of Satan, Jesus warned us that the enemy may harm us more than ever before. So if you're going to struggle with anything on this earth, struggle in Christ, struggle through Christ, struggle with Christ, and struggle under the banner of the cross of Calvary, for we are saved by grace through faith in Him. And that is not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is the gift of God. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 make it so clear that he made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we through him might become the righteousness of God. That is the process of justification and sanctification. Justification, when we accept the love of God, all of our sins are forgiven. They are buried with him in baptism. And we rise again in the newness of life. We are justified by the blood of the Lamb, who have shed his blood for us, paid the ransom, and suffered all things for our trespass, past, present, and to come. That by his own life, by his own love, by his own word and promises, by his own suffering and death, and by his own resurrection, we are forgiven, we are saved, we are healed and restored back into the flock of Calvary. As children of the Most High God and ambassadors of righteousness, just like Ashley. Ashley now is studying to become a counselor. Isn't that amazing? Just like Joseph. And Apostle Paul looked back at his experience and he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 and 18, something wonderful, something mysterious about the troubles we will be going through. He said that our affliction, which is but for a time, God permits, shall work for us an exceeding rich and weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen. We don't look at the troubles that we're going through. But now we look at the things that are not seen, the blessings that are coming through. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So remember now, and let us look at Romans chapter 6, 5, and listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. So we can remember that as we journey on. We don't become sinless, and we don't become conflict and trouble free. We become saved and sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, and there is always good news in difficult times. Verse 1, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith in the love of Jesus and His redeeming grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at that. All of our past sorrows are turning into joy. All of our conflicts become victories. All of our weaknesses become strength. We are new creatures in Christ because of the grace and love of God working in us, for us, and through us every day. A work of transformation and change. So, even in our infirmities, God's glory shine upon us. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I don't know. I have not reached that point yet where I can tell you that I really glory in trouble. No, when trouble comes, I go through the same emotions that everyone else go through. It's just immediately the outcome of this conflict is going to be determined by two things. And I share that with you again and again. How do you interpret this event and how you respond to that? If you interpret this event through the heart, the mind, and the eyes of Jesus, and if you respond to them through the word of Christ, that is through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, through surrender and trust of God's word, all things shall work together for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to His purpose. So I don't rejoice in tribulation, but I pray that when it comes, that the Holy Spirit immediately take me over to help me understand the event through the eyes of Christ, because it did pass His office. He signed off. He signed off with a glorious purpose. Therefore, I will trust Him. Remember what Job said? When his wife told him, his own household, "You still believe in God after losing all of the children? After losing the property? Look, you are so diseased and there is no physician to heal you. Why don't you curse God and live?" Family members sometimes can be the most discouraging force in our faith in God, because they have to make their own choices themselves. It doesn't mean we have to follow suit. We love the sinner, but we reject and hate the sin. And so did Job. He said, "The Lord give, the Lord take away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Did you hear that? And then he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust his love." And we don't know how long Job suffered this, but we know the end of the story. That God restored twice of everything that Job lost. And the Bible said that the end of Job was much better than his beginning. Interpret the events of your life in a positive, heavenly, scriptural way. Respond to it with the power of the gospel through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you and I someday can rejoice in tribulations, because tribulations worketh patience, endurance, strength, and might. And said, patience work a new experience with God, and the end of that experience is hope. Do you hear that? So think also of the end of the tunnel. There's always hope after a crisis. And Paul said, "And hope maketh not ashamed of our past decisions, of our struggles every day. Hope maketh not ashamed." Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You have the might and power of the Holy Spirit inside you. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost dwells in you. It is the Holy Spirit that will always guide us unto all truth and show us the way, especially when we fall from grace. Daily, He convicts us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and He calls us quickly to come boldly to the throne of grace. where we can experience the love of God unconditional, the forgiveness of our sins, and then we ask Jesus to continue the process of rehabilitation. And you know, that process will not end till our last breath on earth. It's a process of sanctification. We are not holy. Neither can we make ourselves holy, even with our good deeds of righteousness. Only the love of Jesus, fueled, ignited, empowered by the Holy Spirit in us, can continue the process of sanctification unto life eternal. And that is what Paul have said happened to him, and now he is encouraging us to lean on those words. And then he continued and said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Would you die for someone who is even righteous? So how could Jesus choose to die for someone who is wicked like me? That is love. That is love. That is the love of God. And we cannot find that in any human being. And when we try to find it in mom, in dad, in brother and sister, in pastors, in churches, we will be discouraged. But when we find it for ourselves in Jesus, and when we become one with Him, we are able to disseminate it to everyone else, that they may look at our life, hear our testimony, recognize who we were and who we are, and believe on the love of Jesus. We are ambassadors and witnesses of how God called us out of this darkness into His marvelous light, from children of perdition to children of light and life. And therefore Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven." Because as Saul was transformed into Paul, so we have been transformed by the love of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But God commended His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Isn't that wonderful? That was the testimony of Ashley. That is my testimony and your testimony. And it should be the testimony of great many people on this earth who will accept the love of Jesus. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's where the hope is found, in our daily connection, communion, and trust in the love and words of Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, on our behalf, and through us unto others. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
This love never fails unless we choose to fail it. This love never fails unless we choose to disconnect from it. Right? You know, you have the faucet, you have the water. If you don't turn it on, you don't get water. Right? And maybe there is a faucet, but someone turned the main off. And you go to the faucet and you turn it on, no water. Because someone shut the main. If we disconnect from Jesus, and if we don't spend time daily, throughout the days, in different forms, in different ways, in prayer, in praise, in worship, in service. And when we fall from grace, if we don't go and ask Him to forgive us, then we begin to disconnect from the main. Even though we have a Bible at home, even though our mind would say, "I believe in prayer," but if we don't exercise it, it doesn't do us any good. And what happens? We feel low on love. and we feel high on the love of self and the love of the world. And suddenly we began to experience the symptoms, which is stress that lead to distress, that lead to repression, suppression, depression. And if it is not dealt with, it becomes possession. See the process? A very process, a very dangerous process. But that is how people get there. Disconnecting from the main. And the main is the love of God. It is my earnest prayer that we continue to bear the love of Jesus in our life amidst all conflicts in time of peace and in time of storm. It is my prayer that during time of peace and during time of conflict that we believe on the love and the promises of Jesus and we seek after it. It is my prayer and my belief that as we bear and as we believe, the end result will be endurance and hope at the end of the tunnel. Because the love of God never fails. And until it has accomplished in us what it was purpose to accomplish. It is my prayer today that each and every one of us continue to pray for the saving, healing, restoring, transforming, joyous, fulfilling love of Jesus in our lives every day. And you know, when you have it, and when the devil come and throw things your way, you will be able to smile because you know the Lord is just dropping a new blessing your way. Just surrender. Surrender. Stop moaning and groaning about it to other people. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And the Holy Spirit will assure you, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in your life. I will be exalted among the nations. And I will be exalted among the heathen. If you trust my love, surrender and obey. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together. Lord, we thank you that you did not make any mistake in creating all of us and placing us into our mother's womb. We thank you for our parents. We thank you for our families. Even though they are struggling sinners just as we are, yet we thank you for your love for them. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the healing power of Calvary upon us and upon them. Lord, forgive us where we have trusted ourselves or others or things to find that love which we are desperate for. Forgive us for all of our sins and trespasses, and forgive those, Lord, who sinned against us. May you save them and save us from the inside out, and may your love, your word, and may the power of your Holy Spirit alone carry us through all of our journey on this earth. May you help us that we may live a life of proactive love for thee, by thee, and in thee, unto others, and help us to avoid the traps of the love of self and the love of the world. And when we fall short of your grace, may your love and grace and mercy and long suffering, and may the power of your Holy Spirit lift us back up again to make us stronger than ever before, more experienced with the power of your love, that we may be able also to help others along the path. In Jesus' name, amen.